to see you. So I'd like to start out with a joke. And there's a traveling healthcare nun. And she travels around and she goes and takes care of people who are invalids in their homes. And two blocks away from the gas station, she runs out of gas. And so she gets out of the car and she walks to the gas station and she goes and says, "Can I please borrow your gas can?" And the attendant said, "I'm so sorry, ma'am, but it won't be back for an hour." She said, "That's okay." She walks back to her car. She gets a bedpan. She walks down to the gas station. She fills it up with gas, and she comes back. And as she's pouring the gas from the bedpan into her car, these two men drive past. And one man says to the other, "If her car starts, I'm going to church every Sunday." I like that. Her car started. You need to come every Sunday. Yes? So we're going to talk about blessings and gratitude. And I'm going to segue on what the wonderful practitioners did last week. And if you didn't get it, there's more of these. There's gratitude booklet and the 10 points of gratitude by the Dalai Lama. Please pick one up on your way out. That is a gift from the practitioners. So blessings as gratitude means we commit to live with expectancy. Like a kid at Christmas, what am I going to get? What's in that box? I used to shake mine, try and figure it out. Expecting everything in every moment in life to bless us with and for our greater good, yes? See, because nothing is against us. Everything is for us. However, what do we do when the opposite happens? What do we do when in the moment it seems that our greater good is not showing up? Anybody? Maybe it's a loss, an illness. Maybe it's a disappointment. How do we bless those? Some people go around saying, "I'll believe in the good when I see it. I'll believe in the blessings when I see them." Seeing is believing. That to me is a self-inflicted trap. Because you see, the attitude of that person says that unless I see good, I'm not going to feel good. I'm not going to know good. I'm not going to allow good to come into my life. It's our thoughts that create. It's how we think that tells us either how hard life is or that life is filled with ease and blessings. It's our thinking that tells us to be discouraged. Our thinking either frees us or imprisons us. Anybody understand that one?
I do.
See, because when we speak against life's events or we complain, we create a barrier, a wall. And depending on how much we complain and depending on how much we speak against whatever's taking place in life, this wall becomes really powerful. And it's a barrier to our good. And it's a barrier to allowing God to work in our lives. So what does that mean? Well, there's a couple of examples of that. My grandson, Kenny, came up not too long ago, and I said, "Kenny, how are your grades?" He says, "Oh, Grandma, they're really good." But he said, "I have kind of this memory that just reads something and knows it. But when it comes to finals, Grandma," he said, "I don't do very well. I get in there, I get scared, I don't remember." And he said, and "the finals are what really count for my grade." And I said, "Well, Kenny, there's an easy solution." He said, "Really, what is it?" And I said, "Start 2 months before finals." Or I said, "Even as you study, keep saying, I know that this information sticks. I am powerful. I am a great student." And I told him that his mind and his thinking that builds a wall that scares him and keeps him from getting the grades he deserves and desires. So I had him start at least 2 months before finals saying that all of this information is stored in my beautiful brain and it's powerful and it moves through me and I just whiz through my finals. And after the 2 months in Kenny's finals, just before summer, he made all A's and B's. He said, wow, Grandma, that works. Yeah, it does. So you can, what? Grandma's pretty smart. Thank you. You got a point, Brian. Right. You see, we have to pre-pave. What is it that you're desiring to create in your life? We have no idea how much good we've walled off from our thinking. Break down that wall. Study the walls of Jericho. You know, they didn't break the wall. They just went around and around and sang the praises of God. And the wall came down. That's what the Bible has, these stories in it that tell us how to deal with our life today. See, it's up to each one of us to believe Spirit wants your best. Spirit isn't out to get you. Spirit's out to give you. Spirit wants to fulfill your greatest desires. Are you willing to picture that taking place? See, we join our greater good with our blessings and our gratitude, giving a clear picture to our heart's desire. That's what Kenny did. He gave a clear picture to what he desired. Are you giving a clear picture and then you say, but I don't really believe it's going to happen? Anybody? You don't have to raise your hand. Because in this, we're creating a mental equivalent of what our desires are, you see, because if we can't believe it, if we can't feel it, if we can't see it, then how is it going to manifest? You have to have a mental picture of what we want, this or greater, when things take place. Thank you, God. I am so blessed. That primes the pump of our greater good that is desiring to come and happen into our life. And you know, I knew this years ago. Years ago, that I would be in my later years in a loving, nurturing relationship later in my life, because it certainly didn't happen in the beginning. Blessed be. Praise God. However, I knew that God so loved me and that I deserved love. And I had a lot of love to give. And I said, you know, there's going to come a time that this man's going to come into my life and he is going to be grateful that I'm in his life and he's going to love everything about me that shows up. Yes? Well, you know him. I got him. Scored. Rick never tells me when I act up or act out, because I do. Hello? A ministerial license doesn't say I'm an angel, or doesn't say that I always go to prayer, I always go to blessings. I need to be reminded, as each and every one of us do. And so when I understand this, he never says, oh, Reverend, don't act that way. I would hit him. See, I knew this years ago. I knew that that was God's promise, because that's who I am. God wants our greatest good to take place in our lives. There's a power that supports each and every one of us, and our job is to believe it, to say, yes, I partner with this power. This power wants my good. Good and blessings needs to be our normal thought pattern. My good is happening today. I am so blessed. I'm going to go out to the store and I'm going to know that everything works effortlessly and easily, and lines open up and the parking space comes. The whole thing. Because you see, when we hold a pattern in our mind of the blessing, and we give thanks in advance to that that is coming to us, it becomes our normal expression. What's your normal expression? Everybody breathe. Room gets really quiet. We're all learning. We're all growing. And that's what's so wonderful about coming to a unique community like this, because we bless each other in our own growth. We don't say, oh, you shouldn't act like that. That shouldn't happen to you. It does. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of disappointment, we need to stop and say, I know a blessing will show up. I don't know how, but I know a blessing will show up, and I give thanks in advance for that. Yes? You see, that's how it works. Because the more that we prime that pump, the more that we get used to in the moment of a disappointment, we say, wow, there's got to be a great blessing that's going to show up from this one. You got to learn to look for the good. And demand it. Okay, God, you promised us greater good. Instead of what's wrong. And telling everybody how life isn't working in your favor. See, I know this isn't always easy. Things don't always go as planned. Focusing on disappointment can build a rock wall between each and every one of us. So this gets me to my summer vacation. People ask me, how was your summer vacation? I said, you're going to hear it on Sunday morning. Our best plans can be sidewiped, can't they? Now, you guys all ask me, where are you going? I said, well, you know, we have the deck to do. By the way, the deck is a beautiful. Thank you, God. Only took 6 weeks. Thank God for Rex. Because he stepped in. I said, please, please, please. Reverend Suzanne said, you know, I have honeydew things. I said, I know, but we really, please. And Rex really helped this guy get adjusted to building a deck anyway. And you said, where are you going to go? I said, we're going to go to Bodega Bay. It's our favorite place. And when I looked at the dates, there was an opening right in the middle of the week, so we could leave Monday morning and we could come back on Thursday. And there was that space, and I said, thank you, God, that must be ours. I know it is. And we know these people. We've stayed there before. So we're all packed up. We got the ice chest because we like to cook. We've got Bodie. We've got all the paraphernalia that we need to have a wonderful time at the beach, Bodega Bay. We get to Sonoma, Glen Ellen. A lot of people don't know where Glen Ellen is. There's a great grocery store if you're ever there. It has great food. Anyway, and a good bathroom. You know, that's always important. We're out there having this delicious lunch. We're an hour and a half at the most away from the cottage. The phone rings. It's Tom, the owner. And he says, Maggie, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but he said, we have a big electrical problem at the cottage. And he said, the electricity is arcing. It's very dangerous. We have to turn off the electricity. He said, I'm sorry. You just can't come. We're going to have to put in a whole new panel. I have to get an electrician that can do that. My heart sunk. I finished our lunch. I think in the beginning, you see, when I get bad news, I feel really brave. Anybody else? So I told Rick, because you know, he'd driven all that way, and I said, well, I'll drive home. He said, good, I'm going to take a nap. That's Rick's favorite thing when things go, I'll take a nap. Okay. So I'm driving home. Halfway home, I start crying. I cry for the rest of the way. See, because there are times that life is going to disappoint us, and we have to feel the feelings. We have to get what it is that's coming up for us, because, you see, if we try and tamper it down, if we try to hold it off and say, oh, no, I'm better than that, just pray, we limit ourselves. Other people ask me, well, didn't you stay someplace else? No, we had a dog, so. And I don't want to just go anyplace. So we went home. And there were a number of things that I realized. Number one, then I got to go sit on my beautiful new deck and enjoy it. But the other thing I realized is how much I had put my happiness, my joy, into what was taking place outside of me. Yes? Not only that, but then I kept saying, then Rick and I really prayed about it. We said, okay, there's something really good that's going to take place. One of the things I love to do when I'm on vacation is I love to clean up things that you know, when you're busy working, you kind of set aside. And so I like those little rat's nests that I get into and clean up. So I started doing that. I said, well, at least I could, excuse me, I'm here to clean. And on Monday morning, after that occurred, and then, by the way, Tom called us later in the week, and he said, Maggie, we're just so sorry, we've got it fixed. And he said, we have some openings, and we'll give you the cabin for half price. We've got our date in September, yes? Okay? It all works, because God is working in our lives. So here it was. The end of the week, on Monday, I got this email from Naomi giving me 2 weeks' notice. Now here, yay, hallelujah. I'm really glad for her. It's the best thing that could have happened to her. But my vacation ended because there's work to do. So I come into the office and so Reverend Suzanne and I were starting to write the ad that's going out, and then Naomi walks in, and she says, well, what about Tony? I said, what about Tony? And Suzanne said, oh, I forgot. Tony wants a job. Called Tony. I said, this is what you need to be able to do. He said, I can do it. Bingo, bango. Because, you see, as soon as I found out Naomi was quitting, I called Rick, and we prayed. We prayed that it be easy. We prayed that the person that's coming is a perfect fit. It's, you know, because that's what we want to put God in charge of. Yes? Yeah. It's a good fit. I am blessed. There was still more work to be done because, you know, but Tony sits down, he goes and says, I like my hands on, let me just try it. Bing, he's 3 days. Because he knows the community and he knows me. So changes and challenges don't mean we've got bad luck. It means something greater is yet to unfold. It was perfect for Tony. It's perfect for Naomi. And when we love people, what do we want? Their perfect lives taking place for them. It's just time to accept and adjust and look for the blessings in everything. Sometimes I have to look pretty hard. And allow the human self to cry, to stomp your feet, yell, write a nasty note to life. I hate life. It's bad. Bad life, bad life. And then get on with it. Get on with the blessings. Get on with the gratitude. And release and adjust and get prayer. Boy, I call my practitioner. Then return to your partnership with God. Okay, God, I know that something greater is yet to unfold in this event. Because you see, when we live from gratitude and blessings, everything we look at for the greater good, it will show up. Amen. The story of this man who was hiking in the wilderness, and he wasn't a very experienced hiker, and he didn't know too much about the weather or anything else, and he wasn't prepared for mountain hiking. And it was an early frost, an early freeze that came through, and he knew he was in trouble because he was totally disoriented. He had no idea which way to go. And he started getting tired because the temperature started dropping below freezing. And as he got tired, he said, ah, I guess this is the end of my life. So let me go get comfortable and welcome it. And he found a crevice in the rock, and he went and laid down in it. And the next morning when he woke up, he realized that a dog had found him, and a big shaggy dog, and laid on top of him, and it saved his life. He knew that was God working in his life. So he committed and dedicated his life to being a minister, and that's what he's doing. talking about the miracles, the blessing, and the gratitude that God brings to us. Prepare for the blessings, no matter what it looks like. Every challenge, every difficulty will have a great ending. When we bless with gratitude everything that we're doing, this is the key, in my opinion, that opens the door to our relationship with Spirit. Our thoughts are creative. Our imagination creates the form. This is known as mental equivalent because, you see, God can't give to us what we haven't already set in motion. We don't know when. We don't know how. But we know this is what we desire, this or greater. Our thoughts build the picture of a perfect outcome, or our thoughts build the picture of disappointments. Our job is to learn how to think. Let's go to the screen, Tony. Gratitude has the power to heal me. Let's repeat that, please. When we live in gratitude, it radiates out to everything that we do and everything that we touch. So the next one. Gratitude shifts my focus. Because you see, when we're looking at gratitude, when we're saying, I am so grateful for this that is taking place, even the stuff that kind of sets us sideways, there's something greater yet to be felt. Gratitude shifts my focus. Gratitude improves the quality of my life. I don't know about you, but I worry so much less about things because I just keep giving it to God, yes? Why not? What do you have to lose? And you have so much to gain. Okay, next. Gratitude improves my heart-to-heart connection. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, you know, we might get disturbed about somebody else, whatever they've done or said, and we believe in our own mind that we make a story up about it. But when we have gratitude, I'm glad they're in my life. What is it that this connection is asking of me? The answer will come. Next. Gratitude blesses me as I bless others. How important that is. When we go around blessing each other, we glean that equipment, that idea that everything is here for us. We want to bless each other. Is that the last one, Tony? One more? Let's do this. Blessing my moments with gratitude shifts my focus. I'm going to invite you to use the gratitude journal. And we can pre-bless our day, we pre-bless our meetings, we pre-bless everything. We go to bed at night and be grateful for what took place today, and we open in the morning to the greater blessings that are yet to be received. Greater good begins today, and goodness and mercy will definitely track you down. Yes? Okay, let's take that into prayer. So we just take this moment in gratitude and blessings and thankfulness. Thank you, God, that there is this power for good that I can use, that each and every one of us is filled to overflowing with, for we each are the beloved place where God shows up. This is what I know. This is the truth that radiates in and throughout each and every one of us. We are in total and complete partnership with the divine. I accept this. I know this truth in a greater way this day. And I'm filled with gratitude and the blessings for each one of us. We're here to walk together in divine delight, manifestations, in that helping hand that we give to one another. It's all good. It's all God. And where there is a need for healing, I call forth the miracle-working power of God to work in your life, in your loved ones' lives, and everyone that you know, because there is always a greater truth that is desiring to be revealed. And we bless the people who were part of the shootings. We know and accept that greater good comes from all of this, even if we can't see it right now. We know and accept that there is a greater consciousness awakening, and we're part of that. So we bless all, knowing that right where everyone is, God is. And so we just release this, my word, into that ever-living, loving law of God that always says yes, returning to and through each one of us, multiplied, magnified, spilling over. We are full of it, and we're proud of it. We just let God do God's work. And if you're in agreement, please join me in saying, and so it is, so it shall be. Amen.